Jack pointed down the wide passage ahead of them. Ryan couldn't hear a sound, but he trusted Jack's heightened senses. Both of them drew their blasters, flattening against the curved wall, one on each side. There was no cover at all. Then Ryan heard it, a peculiar noise. He glanced at Jack, who shrugged his shoulders. The noise grew closer.
Cuddlies.
Jack holstered his Magnum.
Heard of them. Never seen. Double cute.
Ryan also holstered his Sig Sauer, finding his own face breaking into a smile. He'd once heard an old man, singing in a gaudy someplace, talk about how people didn't like to eat cute food. Chickens were ugly, so were pigs. Kittens were cute, so nobody wanted to eat little kittens. The Cuddlies were cute, too. There were three of them, about 12 inches long, with stubby little legs, covered in a coat of hair that was a mixture of honey and gold. They came scampering toward Jack, making tiny noises of pleasure and welcome. The teenager started to kneel down, beginning to peel off his gloves. Ryan wished he could have had an old vid camera to record the charming scene. The first of the Cuddlies reached Jack and sprang at his throat.
Oh, fuck! Fire blast!
The second of the Cuddlies had set its needle teeth into Jack's calf, just above the top of his heavy combat boot. The third was pattering amiably toward Ryan, its liquid eyes alight with a desire to butcher him. Hampered by the thick plaid coat, Jack was struggling to knock the creature away from his throat. There was no time for either man to draw a blaster. Besides, the Cuddlies were too close. Ryan had to look to himself first. The little furry animal was at his feet, poised on its muscular hind legs, ready to power itself up toward his face. The Pongo whispered from its sheath, the haft filling Ryan's gloved hand.
Fucking bastard!
Jack danced away and kicked the second of the Cuddlies from his leg. He was grappling with the one that still raked at his face and throat, clinging to the collar of his coat. Ryan swung the 18-inch steel blade down in a curving blow, decapitating the creature. Its head rolled like a child's furry toy, its body plopping dead at his feet, blood trickling from its neck. Instinctively, the second of the miniature killing machines turned away from Jack and went whining toward Ryan. It dodged the first hacking cut from the cleaver, its claws skittering sideways on the powdery snow. Nothing seemed to deter its murderous intentions, and it closed in on the man again. Ryan feinted to slash, then turned his wrist, thrusting with the point. It caught the jinking beast through the side of its chubby stomach, penetrating clean out the other side. It was lifted off the ground by the Ponga, its little legs kicking furiously. Having got it onto the blade, Ryan was now faced with the problem of getting it off again. Its jaws gaped, its forked tongue flicking toward him. Ryan had the bizarre image of food being cooked on a long skewer over hot coals.
Cute fucking food.
Ryan clenched his gloved left fist and punched the Cuddly as hard as he could. He knocked it off the cleaver onto the floor, where he was able to slice its head off its body as it struggled to regain its feet. Jack finally ripped the surviving creature from his collar and threw it to the ground. It scampered away down the corridor, its pretty fur matted with the boy's blood. Jack's face was a mask of scarlet, the plaid coat sodden with blood, steaming in the icy cold. Jack ripped the jacket off, hands darting behind him, coming out with one of the throwing knives. By now, Ryan had drawn his blaster, but Jack waved at him.
No! The fuck is mine!
His arm went back, then flicked forward, his wrist snapping with the force of the throw. Ryan caught the flash of pale light as the leaf-shaped blade spun along the passage, striking the furry little creature through its nape, severing its spinal cord, and leaving it dead in its tracks.
Ace on the line.
Bastard!
Jack grinned at his companion, his teeth like white pearls set in crimson velvet. Then his eyes rolled upward, and he slumped unconscious to the bloodied snow. The angles of the corridor held small piles of snow that Ryan was able to melt in the palms of his hands and use to try to clean the teenager's face. He'd suffered a mass of cuts and gashes, most clean-edged, some of them superficial. But there was a longer, deeper one that ran along the angle of Jack's jaw below his ear, and another one that just missed the corner of his mouth. He'd come around in less than half a minute, wincing as the water touched the open wounds.
Poison?
Doubt it.
Never heard of Cuddlies being killers.
Me neither. Keep still.
The blood had virtually stopped from all but the two deepest cuts. Ryan had torn a strip of cloth from the lining of the plaid coat, pressing it against the lips of the wound, trying to hold them together and check the flow of blood. But every time he took it away, the crimson began to seep again. Jack tried to sit up, but Ryan made him lie flat and still.
Keep watch for more fuckers.
Yeah.
Ryan had the blaster drawn and ready by his hand. The boy lifted his own fingers and touched himself on the cheek, staring fixedly at the brightness of the fresh blood.
Bad?
Not good.
There was a stretched stillness in the freezing corridor. To Ryan's great relief, there was no sign of any other Cuddlies in the vicinity. Despite their diminutive size, they had a murderous passion for killing that would have made a dozen of them potentially lethal opponents. The wounds weren't in any sense terminal, but they were severe enough to need stitching or clamping. But the reality was that they might be facing some mortal combat in the next 24 hours or so.
You're not fit enough, Jack. Best get you back home.
Another jump?
Yeah.
Jack almost smiled.
Shit, think I stay with you.
But they both knew he wasn't going to be able to remain there.
I can't stop the bleeding.
10 more cloth. Use it on the way home. I'll be fine.
I know.
You sure the jump will be home?
I'm sure.
But Ryan wasn't at all sure. It all depended on whether anyone else had used the gateway outward in the past couple of days. If they had, then that would be the last destination, and that would be where the wounded teenager finished up. It didn't take them long to walk slowly back along the passage, through the large room that held all the master controls for the Matrans unit, then on through into the gateway itself. Ryan glanced behind them, seeing that Jack was leaving a clear trail of ruby drops on the shimmering whiteness. If there were any Cuddlies left in the redoubt, it wouldn't take them very long to pick up the scent of spilled blood.
Should I get in?
Sure. Get comfortable. Then give me the word. I'll press the buttons and then shut the door for you. All right?
I don't know. Maybe could...
Maybe couldn't, you stoop. Best for both of us, you going back to the others.
You want my blaster?
No, thanks. Go on.
Good luck, Ryan.
They shook hands quickly, the merest brush of skin against skin. Jack stepped into the chamber, then spun around.
Oh, fuck that.
He grabbed Ryan and hugged him hard. Ryan returned his unexpected show of affection, feeling a slight prickling behind his eyelid.
Go on now.
He waited until the teenager was sitting, facing the doorway.
Could be better if you lie flat. You sure it'll be okay at the other end?
You want to come see?
A single finger was raised, bringing a smile from Ryan. The last destination control was pressed, and then Ryan closed the door firmly, making absolutely sure that the mechanism was triggered.
Watch your back.
Ryan was fascinated, never having been able to watch a jump from the outside of the gateway. The armor glass walls were unusually dark, but he went to press his face against them. A great spark of static electricity slapped him across the side of his cheek, making him jump. He could hear a humming, and there seemed to be tendrils of white mist billowing around, making it impossible to see anything, even to make out the slight figure of Jack Lauren. A very bright light began to glow behind the armored glass. Ryan could hear a sound like a mighty rushing wind becoming louder and louder, like standing in the path of a chemstorm hurricane. It swelled, then began to fade. The light dimmed, and he knew that Jack was gone, and that he was alone. Ryan had lost count of the number of redoubts that he'd been in. The traitor used to reckon that no one in the United States, except the topmost generals, had ever known just how many had been built. He used to talk about what he called a new Cold War that had begun close to the end of the century. The secret military complexes had been established in a variety of isolated locations, many of them in commandeered sections of old national parks, as well as some in cities, and one or two in other places. Ryan walked on, following the cold wind, his thoughts turning back to the traitor. The strange half-rumor that he'd heard preyed on Ryan's mind. The possibility, however remote, that the traitor might still be alive, that his mysterious disappearance, despite the appearance that he was dying, might have been contrived. It wasn't possible, Ryan knew that. Yet again, nothing was impossible with the traitor.
Over, under, or around?
Ryan shook his head and smiled at what had been one of the traitor's favorite sayings. Perhaps that had been how he treated death. Something that you found a way of defeating.
Nah.
That was foolishness. Ryan knew it. Still, it couldn't be denied that the strange whisper that the traitor could be alive